Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. You know, I am very aware of my limitations. As a matter of fact, I've been aware of them for pretty much as long as I've been alive. I found my limitations playing sports often. Certainly, I enjoyed playing and would often be pushed maybe beyond limits that I, places I thought were limits. I could actually be pushed beyond them, but there was always a time in which I would find my limitations. I would find where I had reached my limit, to be sure. That happened on the football field when people much faster than me would run past me, or when I was on the baseball field and somebody would hit something to me when I was playing shortstop and I would make an error. I'll never forget my coach in high school. He had been a scout for the Cincinnati Reds for many years and had coached in Florida and won a couple state championships down there. Somehow ended up coaching my little ragtag bunch of friends up in the mountains of North Carolina. And I'll never forget after my junior year of high school, I had played shortstop all through high school. He said, David, we're going to move you to third base. I said, okay, that's fine. So whatever to help the team. He said, you know, Brian, the guy that plays behind you, he's a lot more sure-handed than you. And I said, yeah, I think you're right about that. He goes, and also the biggest problem you have at shortstop is you actually think. You know, you have to use your mind. And we really want to put you in a place where you can just react and not use your mind at all. Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. So loved playing third base because guess what? I didn't have to think about it. And it was actually, I did do a lot better there at that position. In basketball, I remember getting dunked on regularly. That was not an uncommon occurrence for me. So I was very aware of my limitations, but I first became aware of my limitations when I was a little child playing cards with my grandparents. Well, not the one side. The one side was very generous. I would actually win occasionally with Grandma Layla whenever I'd play with her. But my Grandma Lucille, my Granddaddy Reinhardt, no such luck. My Granddaddy Reinhardt, I'm convinced, is the greatest checkers player that's ever lived. I never came close to beating him, and nobody else did as long as any game I ever saw him play. I could never beat him, even up until high school and college, I would play him and never could beat him in checkers. He was tremendous. My grandmother was the same way. I could not touch her in canasta. It was unbelievable how she would get those runs going. I couldn't beat her in gin rummy. Now, she wouldn't play me in spades or euchre, the things that I knew how to play, but that's okay. She would play me in her games, and I couldn't touch her. And I would realize that there was just limitations that I had in my life playing cards with my grandparents. Well, our personal limits, as we are all aware, keep us from doing and being all that we would desire and hope in our lives. And our gospel lesson today, friends, is about human limitation. In fact, human limitation is on full display. When we read these words from Jesus about divorce and about our relationship with children in our world, we recognize that human relationships of all kinds are fraught with brokenness and frustration. Still, if we can look beyond the initial impressions of our reading today, we will see that the reading is less about our limitations and actually more about Jesus' response to our limitations. The Pharisees come and ask Jesus about divorce, telling him what he already knows, that Moses allows for divorce. But by asking this question of Jesus, the Pharisees, as they do often in our Holy Scriptures, are attempting to put Jesus in a no-win situation. And they're using the issue of divorce to do it. You see, on one hand, if Jesus says that it is okay for a man to write a certificate of divorce for his wife, like Moses had taught, then Jesus is condoning a system where women and others are less favored by society. And this had not been up to this point, and certainly was not at all ever a part of what Jesus taught in his ministry. On the other hand, if Jesus says that it is not okay for a man to divorce his wife, then Jesus comes into question for disavowing words of tradition accepted doctrine, cultural and societal understanding, and the long-time teaching of Moses' law. They were attempting to put Jesus between a rock and a hard place. But like he is also apt to do in Scripture, Jesus does not take the bait. And he responds by doing that most wonderful of things that Jesus does, not only here in this text, but actually in our lives, in our struggles of life. Jesus changes the focus of the question. He says, because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote this commandment for you. Now, in effect, what Jesus is saying here is that it is because of human limitation, because of hardness of heart, sin, brokenness, that this law exists. Divorce, as I think we all would agree, regardless of situation, is painful. It is heartbreaking, and it causes suffering for all involved. Still, because of brokenness, because of human limitation, there are all manner of reasons, both the respectable ones and the questionable ones, that can keep couples from maintaining their promises, their vows, their commitments to each other. And while acknowledging this, while pointing this out, Jesus does not choose to focus solely on this human limitation. Instead, Jesus moves the conversation from human limitation to divine intention. He says, God made them male and female, and the two shall become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Jesus is being clear that God's intention always is for relationships to last, to build, to grow, and sustain us. That is why we were created. That is what is hoped for. But Jesus knows that it does not always occur that way. And so he actually says something next that is even more provocative about this. He says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. But here's the thing that makes it provocative. He says, if she divorces her husband. By doing so, Jesus is giving a greater right to women than they enjoyed or that society allowed. In this statement, Jesus is leveling the balance of power between men and women, and it is rather remarkable, I do believe. Because he does not sell out that God's intention is for relationships to last in the kingdom of God. But he does say and solidifies and broadens our understanding of how those relationships are to be in the kingdom of God. By calling upon equality, by giving women a right by saying this that had not been given them before, Jesus is changing the question, and he's calling into effect not simply divorce, but how do we live with equality? If this wasn't enough, what Jesus just does next is the equivalent to a big, large exclamation point, or in our current vernacular, this would be Jesus dropping the mic. Okay? He sees these little children being shooed away from him by the disciples, and Jesus instead reaches down and embraces them. He says, "Let the little children come to me, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Now notice, he has changed the question that had been asked him by the Pharisees and changes maybe a limited view of what they were asking, and he does the same thing here. He challenges our limited view of the relationship of children and adults in the kingdom, and he brings the conversation and focus back to what God's true intention is. And Jesus says that in welcoming children, one of the least valued segments of society, he is literally showing the people around him that receiving and blessing the least, receiving and blessing those with significant limitations, receiving and blessing those is exactly what the kingdom of God is all about, even despite our brokenness and our sin and our failures. Jesus. By changing the Pharisees' question and by welcoming in the children, he is trying to tell us that the kingdom of God moves beyond our limitations and invites all of creation into a new and radical experience of equality and need, where women are as valued as men, where children are as valued as adults, and where our neighbor is as valued as ourselves. You know, we hear these readings every week, and one of the truths is this, is that oftentimes the reading, like today, about divorce or about welcoming children and the relationship to adults, we would think that that's what the reading is about, but really it's not, because oftentimes these readings are not about us. And they're not about our failures and our brokenness or even our sin. These readings are about God. They're about the God who is limitless in God's ability and willingness to love us in spite of our limitations. This reading is about the God who calls people together and desires always for life-giving relationships to be born and to be blessed and to live on in our lives, whether they be married couples or families or friends or congregations. But it is also about the God who knows in the brokenness and the limitations of our world, this cannot always happen. And so ours is the God who is big enough, who teaches about a kingdom that cherishes the least of these, the poor, the outcast, the infirm, the mentally ill, and desires a kingdom that invites and welcomes relationships with all people, regardless of their station or status in life. Our reading today really is not about us, our limits, our failures. It's not about our sin, our broken relationships, our failure to love each other, our messiness, our makeshift idols of power, glory, and control, our backsliding faith, our arrogance, our failed parenting, or our wobbling discipleship. Now, our reading today is about the limitless love and grace of God. A limitless love that took on our limitations. And since I learned a little bit about my own limitations playing cards with my grandmothers, perhaps I'll use some language for card players that they may use today. Because you see, it was on the cross that our God, out of love and grace, went all in. But on Easter Sunday, in the empty tomb, on that morning, Jesus played the greatest trump card of all time. In Jesus' name, amen.